Welcome back, one and all, to the best seat at the track, the Front Stretch Podcast. I'm your host, Davey Siegel, and last week we had one of, if not the biggest guest in the history of the show, and this week we probably have 1A or 1B, Joey Logano, runner-up at Martinsville, back-to-back runner-ups, by the way, in the Cup Series, guest here on the pod. Joey's going to stop by with us, chat a little bit about Martinsville, and preview Bristol, where he's the defending winner of the race, by the way. We're going to do the same with Dalton Hopkins in his maiden voyage onto the podcast. Got a lot to do, little time to do it, so let's get it all started.
Buggity, 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 let's go racing, boys!
Green flag is out on the podcast this week. Dalton, I wish I could have you on under some better circumstances to talk about a more exciting race, because Martinsville, my favorite track, love going there, love the racing there. I was so excited to get back to the racetrack. I was there this weekend, and then we get to the coup d'etat, I guess that's the word, right? Saturday night, and the Cup race was just, wasn't good. It was super uncharacteristic of Martinsville. There's been a lot of talk about why that was the case, temperatures, tires, etc., etc. Do you have any thoughts or reasons as to why the race wasn't as we're used to?
Well, I mean, everyone's been talking about those cold temperatures. You know, everyone's been talking about how much those tires really didn't make an impact on those tires. And what we've seen at Martinsville in the past, those tires wear out really quickly, and they make such a huge difference when you get inside, get in pit road, and get to change them. We saw it at Richmond. That made for a pretty decent race at the end there. But I think it's a little bit of that. But I think we're also seeing a little bit of this next gen car not quite flowering with these short tracks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we keep saying, everyone, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, this is really kind of the first test of the short tracks, you know, this season. But we had one at the beginning of the year at the LA Coliseum, and it was okay. I mean, the presentation was great, but at the end, let's not forget, Logano took the lead. I think it was like lap 101, 106, something like that. And then Kyle Busch was right behind him for 50 laps and couldn't do anything with him. So this, I don't think this is really something that we should be that surprised by, but it might not be time to hit the panic button yet. But I don't know. I'm definitely a little cautious about moving forward.
Cautious is a good word to use. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet, but it is cause for concern, like legitimate concern, because like you said, the Coliseum, I kind of look at that in a vacuum because it was a first event, one of a kind event type of thing, exhibition. It was a great, you know, show and spectacle. The racing itself was fine. You know, it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but that was neither here nor there. You know, it's a race inside the LA Coliseum. That was crazy and, you know, an awesome event. But then you go to Richmond, which has not been great in the past few years, and it was kind of just your typical Richmond, not that great. And then you go to Martinsville, where you're thinking, all right, I know that the short tracks haven't been that great, but this place, under the lights, Saturday night, this has got to be where things turn around. And it wasn't. And a lot of the drivers, and you know, we'll talk about it with Joey here in a few minutes, the cold temperatures did not help. The Goodyear tire not wearing out did not help, but that was partially because of the cold temperatures, according to Greg Stucker, who was on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio earlier this week. The transaxle, maybe that had to do with it. The shifting definitely played a factor into things. So, you know, a lot of people say it's a confluence of all these different variables that have come together to make the event not what we're used to seeing. And, you know, it's very cliche to say, Dalton, but if you use a lot of bad ingredients, you're going to have a bad meal. And this seemed to be one of those instances where a lot of bad ingredients resulted in a really bad meal, unfortunately, at a really nice table, which was Martinsville Speedway.
Yeah, what a shame, right? I mean, what we saw last year at the October races at Martinsville for the last few years have been spectacular.
Yeah.
And if you want to cough that up as, you know, oh, well, that's the playoff, that's the championship, you know, kind of point system going into effect, everyone wants to drive hard and, you know, wreck each other, race hard for those wins and get themselves into a championship. But, you know, the spring race has been kind of lacking the last few years.
Not to this level, though. I mean, I agree with you, but this is different.
You're right. And I was exactly about to, yeah, exactly. Last year in the spring, you know, it was still Martinsville. Yeah, it was a little bit, you know, it was a little bit off from what we've seen in previous years. And I'm the same way. You know, I've been watching Martinsville. I've loved Martinsville my entire life.
It's the best.
And, you know, but sometimes they're hit or miss. You know, sometimes they don't always hit. But I've seen a lot of people this week say, yeah, that was actually the worst Martinsville race I've ever seen.
It was for me. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it didn't really hit, did it? You know, you look at it and you're like, I was sitting down watching it and I'm like, you know, shouldn't something be happening right now?
Yeah, like zero on track passes for the lead.
Zero. That's incredible when you think about it. I do the confetti move and that's incredible, but you know, you can't think of Martinsville and say, oh yeah, that's the track where, there's zero on track passes for the lead. Can't do that, man. Something's got to change there. And, I don't think we should have the knee jerk reaction and say, all right, we got to change the car. We got to do this. We got to do this.
Right. Right.
Let's just wait till October. Let's see what happens there. But, if we see more of the same, might be time to mix something up a little bit.
I agree with you, but I think with one caveat, you can't wait till October and see what happens. You need to work on this, and I think that they're going to because, you know, at the time of this recording, Scott Miller corroborated what Greg Stucker said, both on Sirius XM. Goodyear's going to have a tire test at Martinsville before October, and they go for that penultimate race. It was only a couple weeks ago that we said on this very show, myself and Michael Massey, that the fall Martinsville cutoff race is the best race of the season. Love you, Daytona 500. Love your Southern 500, Watkins Glen, Sonoma. Love your road courses. Put in whatever race you enjoy. Auto Club this year, fantastic. It's got nothing on the Martinsville cutoff race. For those reasons you mentioned, Dalton, the drama, the hype, the suspense, the intrigue of being in the playoffs, trying to get to the championship four. But this can't happen again, and I don't think it will because NASCAR's too smart. The teams are too smart. Goodyear is too good at what they do. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk as well about when the next-gen car originally tested at Charlotte, and it just wasn't good. It was not good. NASCAR realized that, had the wherewithal to go to the teams and say, look, this is not acceptable. We understand that. We need your help. Get together some of your smartest engineers. Get together some of your smartest minds. Let's meet. Let's hash it out. Figure out an aero package that works. Figure out some parts and pieces to put on this car to make it a better show. Lo and behold, you get a lot of smart people together in a room and you make things happen. And they were able to do it then. I see no reason as to why they won't be able to do it this time. Plus, you know, hopefully in October, and I get that it's fall and it is usually cold, I hope that it's not going to be 40, 41 degrees. That'll help things. But having a tire test, having all these months to tinker and fix a problem, that'll be beneficial. And also, you know, I hate to say this, but we don't have a lot of short tracks on the schedule. So it's not like you're going to one soon. I mean, you got Richmond and Bristol later on in the year, but Bristol's in the playoffs. Richmond is in a few months from now, and then you got Martinsville, and that's it when it comes to short tracks. So in a way, this could be a good thing looking at the bright side of things because NASCAR, Goodyear, the teams, they have a lot of time to test and tinker on things to try to make it better for when they go back to Richmond, to Bristol, to Martinsville. So I think looking on the bright side of things, they have time on their side, but I bet a lot of people will tell you that there's no time that they would like to have except for more time because this stuff does not happen overnight.
Yeah, you know, the good thing about that is that this is kind of like we're in the early stages of this next gen car. We're still learning about it
every week,
and it's meant for the future of NASCAR. Well, what is the future of NASCAR? Well, let's take a look at what everybody has been wanting the last few years. More road courses. Okay, check. We got that. We got more road courses. But people have been clamoring, screaming, begging for more short tracks.
So have I.
And me too. I mean, that's what we all want. I mean, I don't think there's a single stock car fan out there that has said, no, I don't like the short tracks. I mean, I don't know any, at least. Maybe there's a few out there. But there's no doubt in my mind, NASCAR's looking at those short tracks and they're saying, okay, let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can put some more on the schedule. And if this new car doesn't perform on the short tracks the way they want, suddenly that argument kind of goes out the window.
What about the conspiracy theories, Dalton? NASCAR doesn't actually like short tracks. They designed this car so that they wouldn't perform well there. You know that's true.
We all knew it was coming. We all knew what they want. Well, we got to bite back. We all know that NASCAR hates fun. But, you know, we all know that NASCAR hates what the fans want. They do it just to spite us. But in all seriousness, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's definitely some argument out there that, yeah, the next-gen car is not performing on the short tracks as well. And unfortunately, that's giving a platform for a reason to not go to these new short tracks. We can't let that happen. It's like you said, thank goodness they're trying to change something. Thank goodness they're looking at this and saying, okay, there's an issue. We got to fix this because this is the future of the sport we're relying on here. We can't let it, you know, we can't let it mess up this early in the run. So I don't know. I hope it works out, but at the same time, I don't really know what they're going to fix, to be honest, but I'm not an engineer. So who knows?
Yeah. I don't know either. There's a lot of things to fix. It's just a matter of what they choose to fix, when they choose to fix it, how they choose to fix it. I'll tell you one thing that doesn't need fixing, and that's the 24 team, Hendrick Motorsports, William Byron. He and Chase Elliott led all but six laps of the 403 circuits on Saturday night. Willie B wins his second race of the year, fourth of his career, first multi-time winner this season. Again, it was kind of a track position race, and, you know, once he got the lead, once he got clean air, it was virtually and literally impossible to make a pass for the lead on track. But you can't take anything away from that 24 team, and that driver, William Byron, wins the truck race on Thursday, comes out 2 days later, and wins the cup race on Saturday. And he has just, it seems like he's a new driver this year, like racing these late models, winning at Hickory, winning at New Smyrna. He has more track time and more seat time this year, it appears. And year two with Rudy Fugel at the Cup Series level, this seems to be one of the best marriages that we've seen in a really, really long time. And I would go as far as to say as he's the hottest driver in the Cup Series right now.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking, you know, everybody's been talking about how, or I've seen a lot of people talk about, oh, who's the best driver in Hendrick Motorsports right now? And everyone kind of wants to denounce Chase Elliott because he hasn't won this year. And everyone wants to denounce Alex Bowman because he backs into those wins. But hack, yeah, all luck, no skill. But Kyle, and then there's Kyle Larson and William Byron. And everyone automatically wants to say, oh, Kyle Larson, because he's a champion. He just, you know, stunk up the show last year. I mean, he was winning everything on a racetrack.
Yeah.
But this year, I know he's got the win, and I know he finished second at Las Vegas, but he hasn't been running up front as much as I've seen him do in the past.
He's not 2021 Kyle Larson yet.
He's not. And you know what's crazy about it is that William Byron's kind of taken that form. I mean, look at Richmond. He was going to win that race. I mean, you know, until the last 10 laps, but he was really on route to win that race. And that's not the first time this year, obviously, now with two wins. I think we all knew that Byron was talented. I don't think anybody denied that at all. But at the same time, you know, everyone kind of wondered, is he really ready to challenge for the championship? And that last year, he was getting better. He definitely was a lot better than what we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. But this year, whole new guy. And I wonder if it's because of that whole Hendrick Motorsports mindset, the Kyle Larson mentality of, I'm going to go out and run everything I can. So I have to wonder, maybe there is a connection there. I think Byron's been doing it a lot more than all the other Hendrick drivers, except for Larson. But he's been doing it a lot more than a lot of other drivers, and I think we might be seeing the fruits of that labor.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. It's the Kyle Larson effect, right? Mr. H says, you know what, Kyle, you're a once-in-a-generation talent. I'll let you race wherever you want, whenever you want. I'm going to sponsor you. I'll help you with that. Chase Elliott doing the same thing, running anything and everything under the sun, dirt, late models, what have you. William Byron getting into that action as well. Alex Bowman running his 410 sprint car. Hendrick Motorsports all of a sudden is becoming the playground for drivers to go race extracurricularly, which has never happened before. So I think you're spot on there, Dalton, in terms of, you know, the Kyle Larson effect trickling down and now helping William Byron succeed in other ways. Just to kind of put a bow on Martinsville for a minute, looking back on a year ago, you know, this is the weekend that William Byron's mom had that stroke-like event that led to some health issues for the following few months. and she was at the racetrack. She was on the pit box. She was in the media center for his post-race press conference. He dedicated the win to his mom. It was just kind of a feel-good story, right? And even though the race itself was a bit lackluster and you kind of left with a bad taste in your mouth if you were a fan or, you know, myself who drove 10 hours round trip and an hour and a half back each night to my Airbnb, you know, it was nice to have one of those, you know, feel-good stories leaving the track for somebody that's overcome a lot and that, you know, had to go through a lot, talking about Willie B's mom right there. And she was there to see it happen. And, you know, she said she wanted to be there, even though it was, you know, the site of a traumatic event. She wanted to be there to overcome that. And Willie B gave her a pretty good present. And now that he has two grandfather clocks too, Dalton, he said he's going to give his parents one. So it's going to be cranking and a clocking in their living room.
Well, at least there's a silver lining there with the whole weekend and the mess that really was the cup race. But at least we got to see that. And I think that's got to be the highlight of that win, right? I mean, everybody loves a good feel-good story. We've seen so many drivers come in and, you know, so many tragic events occur, and then they come out with a win. I think I remember Eric Jones, his father passed away a few years ago, and then he got in the Xfinity Series, and I think he was, you know, on the verge of winning. Mm-hmm. And he was just, you know, it was all about emotion. Chase Briscoe had that unfortunate incident with his wife a couple of years ago at Darlington, and then yep. He came out crying out of the car when he won and beat Kyle Busch, no less.
J.D. Gibbs passing away, Denny Hamlin winning the 500. It always happens like
perfect
this.
Perfect example. These are some of the best highlights in sports, I think. I mean, this is that's what sports are. They're human competition. It's all about humanity right there. Because what's humanity if it isn't at the most base form, competition? That's what we do. That's what we love to do, and we love to see people overcome the odds.
Well said. Dalton, stick around, my man. We got to get a quick break out the way, but we're going to come back and chat with runner-up at Martinsville, Joseph Logano. Sounds fun to me. What about you?
Sounds good. Let's see Joseph.
Let's throw it over to our interview with the aforementioned Joseph Logano. Joey Logano of Team Penske, driver of the 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford Mustang, runner-up at Martinsville, got close, just not close enough to beating William Byron on that green-white checkered overtime finish at the Paperclip. He takes us through the finish, why the racing wasn't up to snuff. I know Dalton and I have discussed it at length, but you'll hear from Joey himself. He had some thoughts and some theories as to why things weren't that great. I wish we had more time with Joey. He's obviously a busy guy, especially leading up to this dirt race, which he's the defending winner of. Great to have another A-lister on the show. Here is our conversation with Team Penske's Joey Logano. Pleasure to welcome on to the show this week, Joey Logano, driver of the 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford Mustang for Team Penske. Came oh so close this past weekend at Martinsville Speedway. Just one spot short. I remember you told us right on pit road, you wish you hit him a little bit harder. You still wish you just hit him that much more?
I don't know if I could have got there anymore. I mean, yes, to answer your question, yes. But I couldn't get there. His car was very, very strong into the corner. And it took all I could do just to keep up with him. You know, so it kind of had me out of control trying to get to him. And then, like I said, he kind of got through one and two pretty good and kind of brake checked it at the end and kind of stopped my momentum. And
yeah,
off he went. And so, dang it all. It still stings. Thanks for bringing it back up. I was almost over it.
Yeah. You're welcome. Appreciate it. Yeah. So the brake checking, I found that interesting because to your credit on pit road, you know, you said that you should have expected that and good for him on making that move. But in the past, we've seen and we've heard brake checks being kind of a taboo thing and something that's a bit of a no-no. You think that was kosher at that point in time and doing everything that he could to try to win the race?
Yeah, and I don't know if he intentionally meant to do it. I mean, he was trying to gather his stuff up because I was trying to knock him sideways. And I think while he was trying to gather it up, he naturally just slowed up big and made that kind of last thing happen. So it's heated a moment and thought, yeah, it's fine. It's Martin's on the last lap. As long as you guys don't wreck each other, I think it's game on at that point. You know, as long as you don't, you know, back someone in the fence or something like that, I think you're, you know, that's fair game.
So you mentioned also, you know, tires were a problem. They didn't wear out. Need to fix that. Whether it was the bigger tire, the lack of wear, the cold temperatures, whatever it is, you know, more grip because of the bigger tire and the transaxle. what was the problem? Because it clearly was just not the usual Martinsville race that everybody's accustomed to seeing. Is it fixable, and do we know what the problem is yet?
It's definitely is a different race for sure. You know, you had an intense last couple of laps, which is good. You had, some situations where, the Hendrick cars were obviously very strong for the first 50 laps of a run, and then they get in dirty air and kind of stop them. And then that's when, I was able to make up some time towards the end of the stages, just not enough. At the end, I almost got the 24 on the end of the second stage. But so dirty air was very, very challenging. I think it's a few things. You want to go through them all? We'll go through them all. All right, here we go. All the cars run the same speed, right? So think about that, right? Everyone's running within a few hundredths of a second of each other. Mm-hmm. How do you pass the guy in front of you if you're running the same speed? Okay. It's hard, right? And so now we're complaining about dirty air being the difference because everyone's running the same speed, and we're at Martinsville going 50 miles an hour in the center of the corner saying, I'm stuck in dirty air. Because you don't have enough speed difference to overcome a small amount of downforce that 50 mile an hour is, right? And so that's makes it really hard to even get to somebody. The track was narrower than ever, so you really couldn't move out to get cleaner air and cross under somebody. The car really turns on throttle more, which allows cars to exit lower. Cars have more forward drive than ever with the bigger tire. So there's less mistakes on the exit of the corner. This car doesn't get looser when you pack air on somebody. You can't really pack air on the car in front of you and loosen them up, which makes it harder to pass. And the tire didn't slow down much, right? And the tire slowed down 3/4 of a second throughout a very, very long run, right? So 80, 90 laps. All those things together, I think, made it more challenging to race there for sure. Is it fixable? Absolutely, it's fixable. Right? I mean, we can do anything. But those are, I think, a lot of the reasons on why it looked like it did. The cold temperatures is another piece of that. So,
yeah.
I think the tire is probably the simplest fix, which mm-hmm. I'm sure Goodyear would argue that it's not that simple of a fix. I think having some more fall off and the track actually really taking rubber, I think that the last couple of weeks, right? Richmond was a place that was, doesn't take rubber anymore, and it makes the track kind of one lane group track. Well, Martinsville didn't take much rubber, and it's a one lane track. We need the tracks to take a lot of rubber and force you to move up and search for a clean track.
It's going to be interesting this upcoming weekend to see if the dirt takes a little bit of rubber like it did last year. You're obviously the defending winner of the Bristol Dirt Race. I'm just curious, looking back a year now, that was a one-of-a-kind, first-of-its-kind type of race. What do you remember most about the weekend overall? I know it rained a lot. Hopefully you won't say that, but it seemed to be one of those memorable weekends that you'll remember for a really long time.
Yeah, it was a fun, it was a really fun race. And I remember just being one of those just patient races. Just take your time, do your thing, race your race, because there's no strategy that's going to come into play, right? And there's set cautions, and that's when you put tires on, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a bad pit stop or anything like that. So you have to just run your race as a driver and do your thing. And, which is pretty old school, right? Like, that's how we grew up racing when we were kids. But we don't really do that anymore. So this kind of brings it to that type of racing. And you got to have a game plan in your mind and just go out there and execute that plan. And it's really just you and the car at that point. You can make some small adjustments, on those stops. But, that's kind of what it comes down to. So it makes it a fun race for sure. The track's going to be slick. We're going to be sliding around, moving around all over the place.
Yep.
I'm excited about it.
And ironically, you're also in the truck race. The last time you raced a truck was, I think, 7 years ago, and you won it at Martinsville. So that may be a good omen. Who knows? Maybe you could put that purple machine in victory lane, too.
I'm sure there's going to be some pretty big hitters in this race as well, wanting to get some more laps on dirt. But got Planet Fitness on board this weekend. So she is purple, very purple. Mm-hmm. And the car looks good. Or truck looks good. I got to say truck.
Got to learn that.
I'm excited to get back in one of these things and get some more laps. I wanted to get some more laps, especially on a more of a tacky track. I feel like the dry slick surface, I understood pretty well. But the more the tacky grip part, of dirt racing, I felt like it'd still be better. So that's why we're doing it.
Yeah. I always love chatting with you, Joe. You got a great perspective. I love all your answers and your honesty. I just wish we had more time. We're just scratching the surface, but I know I got to let you run because you got a busy day and a busy week ahead. Congrats on a nice round at Martinsville and good luck defending that Bristol Dirt victory this weekend, my man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man. Have a good one. Thanks.
Checkered Flag is out on the podcast this week. Want to give a big thank you to not only Joey, but also Michael Lewis of Dover Motor Speedway. Did not say International Speedway. There you go. So thank you to Michael for helping coordinate that conversation. And, of course, thank you to Joey for hopping on Zoom. And thank you to Ross at NASCAR for helping coordinate that conversation as well. Always fun chopping it up with him. If we had more time, I would have asked him about my TikToks and how I make fun of him, but we didn't have time. So next time, Joey, I'll get you on that. Dalton, we got Bristol Dirt this weekend. I have no idea what we're going to see happen. Are we going to have the dirt regulars come out in full force? Are we going to have the other guys that we saw last year run up front? Is the weather going to cooperate? I'm not even looking at the forecast because I don't want to deal with it. How do you look at this weekend? How do you handicap certain drivers, and what are you expecting?
I feel like we're saying, I don't know what to expect a lot more often.
Every week, yeah.
Every week, it just seems, you know, it's like, oh, man, I wonder what's going to happen. It's like, yeah, because we haven't done this before. But, you know, change is a good thing. And I think with this Bristol Dirt race, you know, you want to look back at last year and say, oh, it's going to look a little bit like that. I hope it doesn't. But if it, you know, you want to say that it's going to come to that, but this, again, we're back to this next gen car. Everyone takes a look to those, takes a look at the video of Stuart Friesen ripping around the racetrack on that test race, on that test, that test session. You know, everyone kind of liked what they saw. He was using the high grooves. He was using the low grooves. You know, it looked pretty good to me, but you know, again, that's one car. And we've done the song and dance before where a test session looks really good. And then we go into the race and it's not, doesn't come up to snuff. So who knows? I'm not looking at the forecast either. I never do. I don't want to say, I never say the R word. I always just say precipitation.
Yes.
Because it's, I'm very superstitious.
I am as well.
But, you know, I think we're going to see, I think, you know I just sat here and talked about how he's not performing as well as he did last year, but I'm looking at Kyle Larson this
weekend.
Yeah.
He's absolutely a betting favorite for a reason. He's one of, if not the dirt regular that you think of when it comes to the Bristol Dirt Race. I mean, if it wasn't for his incident with Christopher Bell last year, they probably would have been on their way to the front. This is what I'm curious about, and I want to get your take on it too, right? So last year, Joey Logano wins the race, had virtually no dirt experience. Daniel Suarez leads the most laps of the race, and the most laps he's led in his entire career has virtually no dirt experience. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I think he finished second. He was the highest finishing, quote-unquote, dirt guy. This year, are we going to see the same thing, or are we going to see Larson, Bell, Briscoe, Stenhouse, Reddick, those quote-unquote dirt guys, Justin Allgaier in the race for Spire Motorsports with that corn number 77? Are we going to see them run up front, or is it going to be a bit of a mix? Are we going to see some guys like, I'll throw out of thin air, Kevin Harvick or Brad Keselowski, some guys that don't have dirt experience? Are they going to be running up front and surprising us, contending for the win? I don't know. What do you think?
Ding, ding, ding! That last one right there, man. It's going to be a mix. I would put money on it. I think, you know, when it comes to the world of stock cars, I think, you know, we go to these road course races and we always say, oh well, you know, this guy has sports car experience, so he should run well. This guy has, you know, open wheel experience, so he should run well. But then, and then the stock car guys come out, the guys who've been growing up running late models their entire lives come up, and then they actually start beating these sports car slash open wheel veterans. So I think it might be a little bit more of the same this year. I mean, then again, you know, you have, again, but there's a couple anomalies out there, such as, you know, AJ Allmendinger, who come out and just dominates every road course race. And I think we're going to see a little bit similar to that at the dirt race. I think Kyle Larson's our AJ Allmendinger. He's going to be the guy that's just like, it doesn't matter. It's on dirt. He's going to run well. He could be in a golf cart and he could still outrun these guys. Last year, we, you know, he got caught up in that wreck, like you said. I think he's going to be running up front, but he's not going to be, it's not like it's going to be him and then Stenhouse and Christopher Bell. I think they're going to be running well, but I think we're also going to see guys like Daniel Suarez, who has little dirt experience. I think we're going to see guys like William Byron. I think we're going to see guys like Kurt Busch, who are these guys who are just who have just only run dirt only recently. And I think because of that, even though they don't have that much dirt experience, they're still going to run pretty well this weekend because it's still a stock car race.
We'll see how influential this is in terms of that P word and that R word, precipitation. But there are two 50-minute practices scheduled this weekend and heat races. Those are going to be really, really instrumental in helping these drivers figure out what they got, how the next-gen car performs on dirt, you know, because they've only had 20, 15, 30 minutes, depending on where you are this year, of practice on asphalt or on concrete racetracks. So that practice and those heat races, I think those are going to be pretty instrumental in terms of figuring out what you got, when you got it, how you can use it, don't you think?
Yeah, I know somewhere out there, Kyle Busch, when he saw that schedule, he said, finally, we're going to get a long practice session.
He's like, finally, but why does it have to be on dirt?
Why is it on dirt? Yeah, exactly. He's going to find something to be upset about. I think a lot of these veteran cup racers, a lot of these veteran guys thrive on that practice session because that's all they've done. That's all they've known is that, like, okay, we show up at the racetrack, we have an hour long practice session or more, and then we get it dialed in and we're ready for the race. A lot of these younger guys, they obviously practice sessions have been going away the last few years. A lot of these younger guys have been used to that. Chase Briscoe, I think he's one of those guys that's going to kind of be like, I don't really need practice.
That's what it is, yeah.
It is what it is. I just show up and we'll dial it in during the race. I think he's one of those guys that thrives under that. But a lot of these veteran guys are going to take a look at this practice session and say, okay, all right, like now we can finally kind of get to work during these practice sessions and we kind of dial in our race cars and get ready for Sunday. So I think the people who benefit the most from this, from these 50-minute practice sessions, it's going to be those cup veterans.
You said that you'd put money on the fact that it was going to be a mix. Well, let's get ready to put some money on some drivers this weekend. Bet responsibly, party people. As you know, odds courtesy of Caesars in association with William Hill Sportsbook for the Food City Dirt Race. Kyle Larson is your betting favorite at +350. Longer odds for Christopher Bell at +800. Usually you see like 50, 100, 150 points difference, but this one, doing some quick math, is 450 points difference between those two dirt aces. Third best odds on the board, tie between Martin Truex Jr., truck winner last year, Joey Logano, cup winner last year, and last week's winner, William Byron. Then you got Ryan Blaney at +1,200. We don't have matchups posted on the site yet, so we're going to do what we usually do and do some off-the-cuff matchups. Calling an audible here. Dalton, rapid fire. Who finishes higher? Are you ready?
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Kyle Larson versus Christopher Bell.
Kyle Larson.
I will go Kyle Larson as well. How about Joey Logano versus William Byron?
William Byron.
I will go Willie B, riding the hot hand. Martin Truex Jr. or Ryan Blaney?
Ooh, Ryan Blaney.
I'll go Truex. How about Briscoe or Chase Elliott, the Battle of the Chases?
Chase Briscoe.
I will go Chase Elliott, just to be a little bit different. Hendrick is just on another planet this year, per usual. Kyle Busch or Tyler Reddick?
Ooh, Tyler Reddick.
Okay, I'll go Kyle Busch because I think those practices will help him, as you said. How about Ross Chastain or Ricky Stenhouse Jr.?
Ross Chastain.
I'll go Stenhouse. He's +2,200. I would sprinkle a little bit on that. Finished second last year. Stenhouse is a dirt guy. He's got Talladega next week as well. He knows these 2 weeks are a place to capitalize for him. How about Daniel Suarez, who, again, was really impressive last year, and Austin Dillon, who also is not too shabby on dirt himself. He's +4,500, and Suarez is +3,000.
I'm going to go with Suarez based off what we saw last year.
I'm going to go Austin Dillon just to be a little bit of a contrarian. All right, I always like, Dalton, to go down deeper in the pack and make some manufactured matchups with some back markers or some mid-pack cars, because this, I feel like, is where you can really, really try to make a little bit of money and get the better end of those sports books. Who will finish higher in his first Cup Series start for LiveFast Motorsports, Josh Williams or Cody Ware?
I'm going to go with Josh Williams. I think he's got the actual, you know, he's got some actual talent behind him. I think Cody Ware's been in the Cup Series long enough. I'm really excited to see what Josh can do in the Cup Series.
I love Josh Williams. One of the best personalities in the sport, the mullet man himself. I'll ride with Josh as well. How about Michael McDowell or Harrison Burton? Rookies struggle this year.
Yeah, we've seen Harrison struggle with the Wood Brothers this year. I think I'm going to put some money on Michael McDowell. I think he puts on some good shows every once in a while. He puts on some good performances.
I'll go McDowell too. All right, last one. Noah Gregson running the 16 for Colic Racing this weekend versus Ty Dillon.
I'm going to go with Noah Gregson.
Ty Dillon for me, just to be a little bit of a different contrarian. That's what I do best, Dalton.
It's all good. We need a mix.
Well, thanks for hopping on, my man. You did a wonderful, wonderful job in your maiden voyage onto the pod, so much so that we'll have to have you on again. And you're not sick of me yet, so good job on you.
Absolutely. I've got great patience. So, yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Davey. I look forward to it.
And we love your background as well. Diecast walls, Dale Jr. memorabilia. Love
Dale
that.
Jr.
How many diecasts you got in there?
Oh, too many. Got a whole collection in the case in my living room.
Would you say like 500 plus?
I think the last time I counted, it was at 480, and that was just the little ones. So that's not including the 124s.
Oh, so yes, way over 500.
I would say over 500. Yeah. Man.
Are they mostly Dale Jr. or is it a mix?
No, this is all the Dale Jr. stuff, but the rest of it over here, that's all Cup. That's all this Cup stuff. And then I got some Xfinity stuff in there too. And some truck stuff.
I love that. Once I'm old enough and have enough money to like afford a man cave and my girlfriend will let me, I will put a bunch of die casts in my man cave because I have three in the apartment right now. And that's it. That's the list.
You got to put them on display, man. Got to show them off.
I know. You got to tell her that. You got to tell her. All right. Thank you for hopping on, Dalton. It's been great chatting with you. And thank you for listening to the Front Stretch Podcast. If you like what you heard here today from myself, Dalton, or Joey, leave us a rating and a review. Subscribe to the podcast. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. We should be available there for your consumption. And if we're not, tweet us at Front Stretch, and we'll try to rectify that issue for you. Enjoy Bristol Dirt this weekend. We'll be back next week with another guest from the world of NASCAR to recap how dirty we got in Tennessee and preview Talladega. What a weekend ahead, and what a season we have had so far. We'll see you next time.